reach out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 180 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Recording this one Monday, the 12th of April, 2021. Hopefully, if you plugged us in, going for a run, we can keep you company for the next 60, 70 minutes or so. No interview this week, but plenty of running news to talk about. Welcome to my co-host down in Anglesey, the 214 man, World Championship representative, Julian Spence. Welcome.
Thanks, mate. Just needed that too.
Yeah, I thought you might have after last week. You sound a bit down, so I thought I'll just build you up early this week.
Just remind everyone. Sometimes I think people forget, like you.
Me? When like, do I ever forget?
Oh, you forget when you start.
I intro you pretty much every week I bring it up.
Nah, it's good. I like it.
That's good.
It's going to be my fallback when I at a party or something.
Yeah, I think you should get like t-shirts or something made up.
I just wear my uniform around.
Yeah, true. Good idea.
Yeah.
My other co-host up in Canberra is a bit dusty because he tipped in a few beers yesterday afternoon after his big pacing job to help Sean Crichton set the Australian 50K 50-plus record. Bradley Croker, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brady. Thanks for an enjoyable weekend and congratulations on your half marathon victory. I believe you're now the king of Canberra.
No, I don't know about that. It was good, though. I liked Canberra. It's a good little town.
Oh,
it's
good for listen to him now, Brad.
It's good. No, well, maybe I judged it too harsh in the past. Like, I just wasn't sure much about Canberra. And then, it's just like a big country town.
Yeah.
Comes from Chukamoama, like, it's got good vibes. I felt comfortable there.
Yeah, it was a good fun weekend and, really enjoyed catching up with you and the family.
Yeah, it was good. You do sound cruel, Crux.
No, I'm all right. I'm good.
You good? You all right? Yeah. You gonna make it through?
I'll be fine.
Yeah, Moose, you got a carrier. So I've done 6 hours in the car today, so I'm pretty tired as well. So you can come in fresh and just carry us through this episode.
Like normal.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, exactly. You can go first, Moose, because you only ran, you had a down week. Tell us about how things happened off the back of Hobart last Sunday.
Well, yeah, that Monday morning, I'd always had a plan down week. So my training week was supposed to be day off and then jog half an hour every day basically anyway, but because of the knee injury that I had going in, I thought let's take a few days off to get the body right. And I also had that real sore calf, so I took Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday totally off running. And yeah, it's amazing how much extra work you can get done when you're not running. It like you just get motivated for something else. Well, I do anyway. I just like put all that energy into something different. So got a lot of work done I needed to. The calves started to improve. And then the knee was funny. Like as I started recovering, it started to click in weird spots and had some strange soreness in other spots. So I wasn't real hopeful. But I did run on Thursday. So I ran in the morning. I noticed the heart rate was quite high for what it should have been. I don't know what was going on, but I didn't really care because the body felt okay. Then next day, ran with Bree in the evening around Lake Wenderee in Ballarat. So we're out at Gold Rush Trail Run. That day I spent the day basically marking the course and setting the finish line and everything up. So pretty full-on day physically. We walk a ton because you're basically out there walking the course, marking it, putting up like pink ribbons and hammering in signs with direction arrows and wrong way signs, that kind of thing. So that was a big day on the feet. So yeah, just got around the lake in the dark actually. I ran with Bree and then knee was okay. Knee was fine. Saturday, was actual Gold Rush. So Gold Rush Trail Run was on, and it was just a real nasty day, like cold, windy, wet. It's just a real Ballarat type morning. Normally we have that in December, but postponed it to now just through some COVID stuff. So we got the race away. It actually went really well. No one got lost. Only maybe a couple of people got injured, which is a good result. Everyone seemed to enjoy it, even though it was shitty weather. And I was out of there. I reckon I got out by about 4 o'clock, and drove back to Anglesey, and then ran in the dark again. So ran up to was out for a run and saw the lights were on at the footy club. So ran up to try to get a look at the action. And as I ran in the ground, these three blokes just standing around on the piss just started almost heckling me about like my get up, because I was wearing a headlamp and I don't know, half tights, which I guess might be a bit out of place at the local footy. But I worked out they were tourists, and so I wasn't going to take any shit from the tourists. I stood there just drilling them questions about the town, and then they just got real sheepish when they worked out that they weren't from here and they probably shouldn't be giving a local bloke a hard time.
Well, so you confronted them?
Not confronted them, just like...
Well, just start quizzing them, like, what's the population, who's our local council member, stuff like that?
I was just asking them questions about...
Who's the big dog in town?
Do you know anyone who's run 2:14 to lose here?
They were just being real smart asses, and so I just sort of, I played along a little bit, and then about 5 minutes in, I'm like, I don't fucking know these guys are dickheads, and then just kept asking them questions about the team and the club, and then one of them goes, oh yeah, we're not from around here, and I'm like, yeah, you're here drinking piss at the footy club, you're going to probably get in an argument at the pub later tonight, so... Yeah, anyway, probably knocked my teeth out in past days. jogged off, just ran 7K. Enjoyed running in the evening, actually. So enjoyed being in the dark, sort of something kind of primal about that. I liked it. And then the next day, Sunday morning, there was some good results getting around, weren't there?
Oh,
ran
yeah.
a bit. Yeah, it was just really cool. Like, obviously, you guys coach athletes too, and when these events come back, it's like you just kind of get a bit nervous to see what's going to happen with your athletes. And yeah, like I wanted to go for a run, end up running at like 9 something, I think, after waiting for some results to come in, and yeah, 9:10 I ran. So got back, got some more results, and then just checked in with everyone. I had some really good results, actually. It was...
Especially on the, you should see that, like, the course moose and the weather. Like, everyone just said, yeah, people just like nailed it. Like, people were nailing it so much that you're like, you do that on the Gold Coast or like a Berlin or whatever. Like, you get to a flat, fast course with nice weather. Like, oh yeah, there were so many amazing performances, and just people coming up to Croaks and I and like introduced themselves, and then everyone was just saying how much big PBs they ran.
Like, someone told me the half course was short, actually.
Half course, yeah. I don't know about that. Jeez, I'll talk about that a bit later on.
Yeah, no, I was surprised at how good people ran, actually. And even the Geelong half, like, that was
And
a lot of people ran well down there in what was pretty bad conditions, really. And that's not a fast course.
There was a 10K over in Western Australia. People were running fast over there as well.
Yeah.
And especially off the back of Hobart, like, people running fast down there. Do you put it down to, like, because everyone's just, this is what I said to a couple of my guys, like, they deserve that result because they just knuckled down throughout 2020, made good gains with their training, were super consistent, and now they just get to come out and show it?
Just, like, the longest preseason in history.
And, like, but people are taking, like, 5 minutes off their PBs, but they might have done that over, say they might have taken 90 seconds off over three races if the three races were available, but because they've missed potentially three races, they just now take a huge chunk up just because they can finally get to a start line.
I also think that a lot of the athletes we work with, like, haven't been running for 15 years, so a lot of them are quite new to their running. So although they didn't race last year, you know, if they've only been running for 1 or 2 years, that extra year of training like makes massive yeah. differences. Whereas it's, you know, it's not such a big difference if they've been running for 15, 20 years, which is, we don't have as many of those type of athletes that we're dealing with.
Geez, they make us look good though, don't they?
They do.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, Moose, sorry, keep going.
No, I just ran 10K on the over some hills. The heart rate was kind of high again, and then it was a terrible morning down here, like real windy and very shitty rain. But I thought, we got our delivery of Vaporfly Next Percent 2, so basically everyone's favorite, the new version, and I wanted to try it. So I had some surges to do, so I went home, changed shoes, and went and did my surges. So I don't even know how many I did, about 9 minutes worth of 30 seconds on, 60 second jog. So just got a feel for the shoe, and yeah, really, like, I like the updates of it. I'm going to do a bit of a review. So
do you have to deliver to your house in Anglesey? Or no, did you get it from work during the week?
They're not released in Australia until April 15, and so we got the delivery to our store early, so we just sit on them.
Yeah, okay.
And so I just grab a pair. It's like, I'm allowed to do that.
People were racing in them at Canberra.
Yeah, Nike sell them off their website early.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And yeah. they don't permit us to sell them early, even though. This so is just a brand.
They can get the first bite of the cherry.
Exactly. Like, it's hard work for a retailer of Nikes right now, because they want to just, yeah. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. I like them. I'll talk about them another time. But that was my week, 35K, and that was the point of the week, recovery, refresh, and reload, because we got a big training block coming up. So that's what I'm ready for.
Yeah, you guys will talk about that in detail on Shoe Geeks, won't you? That'd be something you guys can go into detail about, so I won't ask you many questions about it now. But you Sydney 10 in 2 weeks, so will you like reload for a week, freshen up, do that, and then reload for 6?
I don't think I can do that. I think I need to be at work. I think it's because I'm going away a bit. I think I need to be at work. It's more important. And I probably just need to get the body on track rather than racing again.
Dodging your croaks. Dodging you.
Yeah. Scared.
Yeah, don't you race in over 50s now? Is that what Brady said before?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That was Pace and Sean Crichton.
He fit in well, though. It suited you up there in the 50 plus.
Hey, you finished third overall.
Done all right, Shorty. Done all right. Yep. Oh, well. So you just knuckle down there, no race until Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. There might be a Queensland race I can get to or something.
So what, are you going to Queensland for a training camp?
Yeah. Yep.
When are you going?
I'm going, Ali and I are going up. Jose and Bree are going up too. May 17, going up until Gold Coast Marathon to Noosa. So we...
Must be nice, Croaks.
Hey, might be time to get in the shoe business, Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Still haven't gone on a honeymoon since March last year.
Doesn't sound like a honeymoon. The whole world hasn't been on any holidays.
I'm saying that worked for a year of not straight of just on the floor, just working
2 days a week for a year.
And now it's time to get fit.
How many weeks is that?
Just bought a house up there, did you, for this training camp? So you got 3 houses now?
Nah, we're in like the conference center place. We had to go somewhere with a sauna. So there were a few sort of prerequisites.
Is this like a legit, like Ali's Tokyo prep camp and then you're just going? Is this what this is? Yeah.
Pretty much. I thought, why don't I get fit too while I'm there?
I feel like he's part of the Aussie team again. Bagging along.
He's in the world champs uniform. Everyone else is in the Tokyo one.
I've still got an extra pair of shorts that I've got to wear.
Everyone else in the new ASICS kit, he's just got the BLK one rolling around.
You would never wear them if you didn't have to.
Oh, that's exciting. So how many weeks will that be?
I'm not exactly sure. Maybe 6 or 7, I think. It's a fair chunk of time. So, yeah, we're basically I've done Ali's training. We know where we're going to run. It's all sort of planned out. It's going to be a real focus on Ali, of course, because she's going to the Olympics. But I'll be there, like, taking advantage of being away from work and having a lot of spare time. So I'll try to get fit too.
Very good. Croaks, tell us about your week.
Monday, Easter Monday, Jack was still down from Sydney, so met him and a couple of athletes that I coached that were in there sort of taper for the marathon, Brendan and Rob. So the four of us did a Mulligan's loop, the 10K loop, 4:35s, and then I went to the gym around lunchtime. Tuesday, we trained somewhere a little bit different just because we start the session at 6 o'clock, and now that daylight savings ended, it's quite dark, so we can't sort of use Stromlo anymore. I'm trying to not be on the track every single week. So there's this place in Canberra, Southwell Park, where there's a netball centre and a hockey centre. And we used to do actually lots of sessions here back in the day with like Dick Telford on, like, it used to just be one massive oval, but now there's a road through the middle. But I thought it'd be pretty well lit. So session was 5 by 5 minutes off a 90-second jog. Just sort of cruise intervals, like, you know, not pushing too hard to the point where when you finish the rep, you can just keep jogging at a decent clip and then get going again. So, the reps were basically between 3:10 and 3:15. And then the jogs early on were quite quick, like sort of low 4 minutes, because if we jogged a bit quicker, we could get a full loop in before we started the next rep, but it didn't quite happen that way. Probably average about 4:15s for the 90-second jog. That was a really enjoyable session. It was one of those ones where you finish it and you're like, yeah, now I've worked, but I could do another rep or two if I had to. Then Wednesday, sort of back into a midweek long run, so 4:10s for an hour 20, just out in Mulligan's again. Thursday, it was just one of those days where my back and hamstrings and stuff just wasn't great. But yeah, I stood 46 minutes, 4:18s. Some days are just, the body's just not great, but I don't read into it much because I know that the next day it can be fine. Friday, so joined Max and Charlie, the two sort of young guys I've been doing sessions with, for a hill and tempo session. So the session was 3 90-second reps up a hill, 360-second reps up a hill, 3 30-second reps, and the jog back recoveries was like around about 20 to 30 seconds longer than the rep itself. After the last 30-second rep, we jogged back down the hill 2 minutes and then did like a 10-minute tempo on the flatter section of Mulligan's. So, it was really solid session. I find this sort of stuff, you get really strong because like the hills bang the legs up a little bit, but they also really activate you. So what I find is at the start of the 10-minute tempo, you feel absolutely amazing because you've had the 2-minute jog, you're on the flat, so it feels easier than what you've been doing. But then because it's, you know, it gets over 30 minutes worth of work, the last sort of part of the tempo becomes a bit tough. So I think I average about 3:13s for the 10 minutes on the gravel. It was a good fun session. Saturday, Brady came over to my place, and then we drove down to Mulligan's, and we reckon, Brady, we had about 10 to 15.
Yeah, it was a good little turnout. Everyone really friendly and stuff.
Yeah.
You've been there before, haven't you, Moose? Mulligan's?
What's that?
You've been to Mulligan's? Yeah, I reckon it's all right. It's good. It's pretty, like, interesting, like, how they got, like, the big fences around it and stuff. Like
Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, that's what someone said when we were walking up there. I think Rob might have said that. Jurassic Park kind of fences.
What about the haircut on him?
On Croaks, it's pretty special in person.
I saw a photo. It looks like he's shampooed it for the weekend.
But then he ties it up and like puts it up his hat, kind of thing. Yeah, doesn't dangle when he runs. Hat. Yeah,
like, yeah.
Man buns it. Yeah,
I have to man bun it to sort of keep the hat, because I don't have a very big head. So if I man bun it, at least makes the hat a little bit tighter, so it doesn't blow off, especially. Like on Sunday where it was quite windy.
But when he's at the pub, he lets it all loose, Moose.
Oh, it's so gross. Can you talk me through it as like an old elderly man having hair like that?
Well, I don't know. Like, it's been it'll be 2 years in June since I've had a haircut. I don't know what started it. I know after about 4 months, it was my brother's wedding, and my hair was a little bit long, and I messaged him saying, oh mate, I'm growing out my hair at the moment, do you mind like if it's a bit long for your wedding? And he didn't give a shit. Mum did. And so like mum actually called Viv and said, I hope Brad's gonna have a haircut for the wedding. And now, like, if you look at my hair at his wedding, it actually looked quite respectable compared to what it's like now. But yeah, I don't know when I'll cut it. It's a bit of a pain in the ass sometimes because it gets knotted, and I've never obviously had to care for long hair before, but I realize now what all the females have to go through with, like, conditioner to keep, you know, because once it gets dry,
Stop talking, Brad.
Anyway. So
one thing I did notice though about Canberra Croaks is there's a lot of, like, everyone's pretty clean shaven up there. Like, the hair obviously does stand out. Like, public servants, they'd have to have, like, be pretty clean cut, wouldn't they? There's not a lot of beards getting around or, like, man buns. It's not like Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, I guess I'm lucky in that, you know, teaching, like, I guess some schools may be a bit stricter with what, you know, with what you wear and hair and things like that, but you get away with a fair bit as a PE teacher.
Who do you teach? What sort of age group are you teaching?
High school.
Oh, mate. If you walked into my class as a temporary teacher with hair like that, I would have run you out of there.
Can you imagine Moose is the bully at school as well, Brad? Bullies us every day in our message group.
Imagine the bloody filling teacher with rolling up with, like, these big flowing locks that's just been shampooed.
Can I get back to my Saturday run?
There was a couple of
different options because I reckon a handful were running the marathon, so it's a 7K loop, which is probably a bit too far for those guys running the next day of the marathon.
Just before you keep going, Moose, are you on his Strava?
I just jumped on right then, actually.
Have a look at the run, and then you try and tell me which part everyone finished and Croaks were starting going solo. He'll be able to look at his taste.
I'm looking at the map.
He was half stepping the whole group the whole way.
I was leading you. Showing you where to go.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm looking at the pace, climb a mountain. The pace has formed a mountain. Heart rate's high though, Brad.
Well, the heart rate's not accurate.
That line's pretty accurate.
But I was 436,
430. Bang, 410.
Yeah, that's it. The rest of us pulled off there. And he went up a 16-metre hill as well. Gap, 353.
That's all right.
What are you doing, mate?
I averaged 426s for 45 minutes.
Had a few anchors on, didn't you? Was that killing you, running with him?
No, it was all right. I was fine. Did I run 436s on the Monday?
Yeah.
That was all right. So that was Saturday, and then Sunday was, the Canberra Marathon Festival. So the 50K started at 6 o'clock. So alarm went off at 4, got up, did coffee in a can in the microwave, Moose.
Oh, mate.
Because I didn't want to wake everybody up with the grinder, and it was actually really good. So it was all right. Yeah. See, I basically put like 100 to 150 mils of the coffee in a can in the mug, and then I used the steam wand on the machine to froth the milk, and then put it all together, and then just zap it a little bit in the microwave, and perfect.
Right.
Shits on Brady's Nescafe.
I'm not sure.
I don't drink Nescafe. Do you know how many people have been messaging me actually saying they also do the double push of the double shot on coffee machines? I got one this morning.
I reckon it was one, Brady.
What did Lockie say?
Lockie's not happy. St. Ali guys are not happy about those comments. But there's a couple of battlers out there that are like me and just double it up.
Mm. Anyway, got up at 4, left home about 5, and it was raining. I knew it was going to be windy, but we didn't expect any rain. And driving there, it's like pissing down. And I park, and it's about half an hour before the race. And I sort of get out of the car, and I'm just like, nah. Because the wind chill factor, I reckon it was, you know, felt like zero. Like, and I thought, if I get wet now, I am just going to freeze, and I'll never actually warm up throughout this whole run. So I sat in the car. And luckily, about 15 minutes before the race started, the rain stopped. So I was able to jog for 10 minutes. And then, we took off. And, we pretty much just rolled, 345s the whole way around. So Sean had dropped a few bottles on, like, the side of the road and on, like, fence posts on the side of the road. So he'd sort of tell me where they were.
I don't know about this.
Tell me where they were.
You sure you want to tell people that?
Yeah, it's fine. And I'd pick up his pick up his gels and that sort of thing. And then so I basically ran 32.2k with him. He continued. I guess there was one point where for the personal drinks, like it was a bit of a shambles trying to actually find your drinks, but for him it was like the 14k and maybe 45k drink stations were actually together. And we're coming up to the 14K mark. He's like, oh, can you grab me the 14K bottle? It's the 3/4 full one. And like, I had a quick look and I couldn't find it. So I just grabbed the full one. And he's like, oh yeah, this is the 45K one. And it's a little bit, I think he said it was a bit stronger. So anyway, we do this little loop around a suburb and we come back. But we're on like, it's like a dual sort of carriageway. And then there's a median strip in the middle. And he said, oh, do you reckon you could go and take this bottle back, swap it with the other one, and yeah, we're good to go. So I had to sort of run, I guess, 50, 60 meters like off course, put that bottle back, find the other one, and then chase him. So I think I ended up dropping like a low 320K to try and catch up as soon as I could, which it was tough. But I was pretty happy with how, like, pace-wise, I felt really comfortable, but you know, 2 hours at that pace, like that's my longest long run since May last year, and faster than I've sort of, you know, do my long runs. Plus just the pounding for that sort of period of time on the road, I found, I'm definitely not marathon like strong, from the training that I've been doing. So yeah, so I was 32.2 and then stopped, handed out some drinks to the athletes that I coached that were doing the marathon. And then ran across the bridge to the other side, which is about the 33K mark, handed some drinks there, and then back over to the finish line to see how they all went. And, I got super – I said this to the guys when we had some beers yesterday afternoon, but I got really emotional handing the drinks to them at, like, 33K, because it's like you know they're hurting, you know how much work they've put in, you know how much they want it, and, like, there's nothing you can really do now but other than encourage them. So – yeah, definitely teared up, and it was great. Like I had five guys run the marathon, and they all ran PBs, and I think four of them were out for beers yesterday afternoon. So that was it was great. And 122K for the week, and haven't slept too well the last two nights, so I'm going to push my session back this week to Wednesday. I figured doing that solid long run, Tuesday night's probably a bit too much of a close turnaround.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move from you. And now you're locked in for Sydney 10, though.
Yeah, I'll do Sydney 10. Yep.
Got your what are you saying, Moose?
Oh, I just looked at the profile. There's some solid hills in this run.
Mate, I'll tell you about it when I recap my week.
The first K goes 13 metres uphill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you run from like Old Parliament House up to New Parliament House, which, yeah, it's straight uphill.
Yeah.
I warmed up on it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? This is the first K. It's like the, you know how you go up the hill at the finish of Hobart? You do that in the first K, this one.
Mm. Yeah, right. And then down 19 metres, so that's a solid downhill.
Yeah.
Within the first 4K, you've gone over some solid hills.
And that's why we really got rolling early, because it was like, he originally said to me, look, we'll run like 350s to 355s, because I think the average K pace for the record was like 354s. And so obviously we run 354 up the hill, but then because conditions, like it got windy maybe an hour into the race, but I was amazed. Like when the rain stopped, there was no wind at all. So it was almost like make hay while the sun shines before the wind picks up. And so because you come off going around Parliament House, and as you said, Moose, it's then downhill. It's pretty much like, you know, you can run low 340s and not put in any work whatsoever. So we sort of made up, I guess, a bit of time before the wind really picked up. I think we went through halfway in, 310 pace. 95 minutes. And he ended up running 3 hours 12. So he's, kept it together pretty well when you consider there's a big stretch into the headwind in the second half.
And third overall, wasn't he? Have you got the winner's time there? Because I'm not sure if I put those in the show notes. I think I forgot there was the ultra. We'll get to them later
find
on. That'd be good.
I'll
go through my week, Ape. Did 13K Monday morning, 4:48 pace. I'm on school holidays, so I was getting out at 7:30, which was good. Still hot on my afternoon run. It was like 30 degrees, which is pretty hot for this time of the year. Just got out for 6K at 4:32s. Tuesday, I did a workout pretty similar to what I do in a half marathon race week. Got this off you, Moose. 3K, a kind of like half marathon effort. I hit like 9:13, 2.5 minutes jog, and then I did 3 by 2 minutes. These were kind of at 250, 255 pace, just with 90 seconds jog in between. Practiced changing gears in the 2 minutes, so like trying to run a solid 1 minute and then just like just almost punch the second minute, just almost put a kick on top of a kick, just like almost practicing for Sunday if it was going to come to that. Just want to practice changing gears. An easy 6K in the afternoon at 4:43 pace. Then Wednesday, just like an easy 14K at 4:32s. Thursday, I did another like little workout. I wanted to do something before going to Canberra, and I didn't want it to be Friday. So I just did a super easy like 4K tempo, average 4:23 pace, and then I think I jogged for maybe a minute or two, and then just did like 4 by 1 minutes on 1 minute jog. And that was nice, just like tick the legs over with a warm up and cool down. That was like 13.5K with like a 4 minute average all up. Got treatment in the afternoon on Thursday and then just did 20 minutes afterwards.
What do you mean? What, like just a massage?
Just a massage, yeah. Just like hips, back, glutes, all those kind of things, just to loosen up a bit. My actual normal masseuse was sick, so I had to try someone new, which was I always get worried when you gotta go to somebody new, especially like when it's, you know, race week and they've never treated you before. Because my guy, like, I've been going to him for years, kind of every second or third week, week in, week out. So that was still good though. The person was good that I went and saw. So I always just do like 20 minutes, yeah, post treatment, just to move the legs, and I don't know, I just feel better when I run as well, like being on the keyboard the whole day, looking at screens, so it's just good to get out the fresh air. Then we went to Canberra on Friday. We drove up, so I went, did another like 20 minutes before we got in the car, just to like wake up, jog around a bit. And then when I got up to Canberra, I kind of jogged the last, well, I got a bit lost. I tried to jog like around the last 4 or 5K of the course, because we were staying near the finish line. Pretty kind of crazy along that lake there, because there's all these electric scooters. You got these down in Anglesey, Moose?
No.
They've got these like electric scooters that they're just all over, like they're just sitting everywhere on like footpaths and like streets like, and stuff. Yeah, and then you just like, you must have to get an app or something, and you just pick up one and just use it. And then so there's like tourists buzzing everywhere on these orange electric scooters, and they don't have any awareness of like anyone else on the footpath other than themselves. So I was just dodging, trying not to get run over by a scooter for pretty much 40 minutes. You had them for a while, Croaks?
Oh, not that long. I reckon maybe a year.
Because Melbourne had the bikes, didn't they? And then but people were just chucking them in the river. Remember those? Those blue bikes? Yeah.
In Portland, in Oregon, they have scooters like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it must just be the real weird cities that have it.
Yeah. No, they looked fun. People were enjoying them. And they just seemed everywhere. Like, even when we're driving home today, you're just driving around and every
great
second.
Idea. Great
every
idea.
Second nature strip.
Roads. Yeah. Keep cars off the roads, and then like opens up like less traffic, and it's real convenient too. You don't have to get on trams or anything. You can just zip around and then drop it off. Probably cost you what, like a few bucks or something.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cheap. And my mate who was up there, old housemate actually, he was up there and had some beers with him yesterday. He was saying like they're zoned, so like the GPS chips in them have certain like speed limits depending on where you're like riding them. So if you're in like the middle of town, you can only go up to like say 15k an hour, but if you're like in a less busy place, you can go up to like 20-25k.
Jeez.
Sound pretty smart. Yeah, so smart. Yeah, people were humming around on those. I figured out though, like Canberra was hilly. I'm looking at these last like 2 or 3 k's, and like you guys got, I've never run, I don't think I ran on hills for like 12 months when COVID like hit and I wasn't going to Bendigo at all. That one day after remember after that Bendigo 5k Moose, we ran with Andy Buchanan.
Yeah,
that was the only day in 12 months that I ran over hills. So I was like jogging around thinking, oh, this is going to be pretty hilly around here. But then Saturday went and joined up with the Mulligans gang. which is good. Good to meet some people there. Good to go around Mulligan, somewhere new. Good to put some faces to some names that we see for the Inside Run podcast audience. That was good. Met your mate Toby Moose. He was there.
Was he?
He came along. He went to your run. Yeah. It was
sort of lucky. I thought this, yeah, it could have ended badly because Brady didn't know who he was. I didn't know who he was. And so, you know, there's a chance that somebody might have got talking about like Brady's competition like tomorrow. But about 3K in, Brady turns back and says, "Oh, g'day, mate. What's your name? What are you hoping to run tomorrow?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm Toby. I'm pretty much going to be running with you." I'm like, "Oh, lucky you didn't say anything bad, Brady."
Lucky I wasn't slagging him off before I introduced myself. But no, it was good. Good talking to him there. And then the race on Sunday. So really, like, I found the course difficult, like twisty, turny, a lot of like hills, hard to get rhythm. The first fire, like 5 or 6K, it was really messy. We were kind of running behind the back of the 5K, like kids run. You know how heaps of people just do that as like a walk the whole way? So like we went off and it was like me, Toby and like Sam Hopper, and like up and around these hills and then down the hills and just zigzagging all over the road, just trying to get through. Like we had a lead bike and they were pretty good, but it's just, you guys have done fun runs before where that happens. It's just pretty chaotic and it doesn't actually feel terrible. Like you're in a race. It's terrible. Like, yeah. And I know Toby was getting frustrated at one stage, like, and I just said to him, like, once we get to like 8K, I think this is going to thin out. So just like try to keep it cool a bit.
We had that, Brady, in the 50 because we started 25 minutes before the marathon and we did, so the 12K mark matched up with the 4K mark of the marathon and they've been going for 25 minutes or 20 minutes. So like we're basically running through the back of 5 minute K runners. And we're running 3:45s. So like we'll run through people for 6, 7, 8K.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's after we got through the 5K walkers, because they kind of turned off. So our like first 5K was their kind of 5K course. So after 5K, we got rid of those people. And that's just where I saw you and Viv and Carly on the side of the road there, Croaks. And then we were hitting the back of the marathoners. So I reckon we probably then hit the probably 3:20 and quicker people. And then that was kind of like, yeah, a bit all over the dangerous and people got headphones in and the bike rider's yelling at the person with headphones and the person can't hear him. And then like the bike can't get through and we're nearly run out the back of the bike. And anyway, we got to like 6 or 7K, like all pretty still together. The three of us, I probably did the majority of work up to like 5 or 6K, kind of started getting a bit of rhythm at 6 and 7K where we went like 3:08 and 3:10. And then, we kind of hit this wind and kind of Toby went to the front and I just kind of sat behind him. I knew it was going to be pretty windy for like 7 through to like 9, 10K until we turned and got the tailwind. And we got rid of like Sam at that stage. So there was just the two of us. And yeah, I just kind of sat on and then we did this turn and like we mowed through like the big 3 hour groups at this stage as well. So it was getting probably not a lot of people running sub 3 there. So it wasn't as much traffic on the road to get through anymore. Then at like 10K, we turned the corner, or we did a U-turn, went up this hill, and Toby just like, he's strong on hills, Moose. You done any hill runs with him?
Oh, he fucked me up on that hill.
Yeah, race, that's right. So. Yeah, I forgot that. So we've run up this hill. I'm like fully gassed, and all the marathoners are coming the opposite way, and like lovely people, they're all yelling out, like obviously a lot of listeners yelling out, like, "Go Brady, go Brady," and I'm like, "This is cool." And then we got to the top of the hill. Toby's turned to me and said like something like, "Do you think anyone's going to cheer for me this whole race?" or something like that. And he wouldn't have even blown out a candle. Like just wasn't out of breath at all. I'm behind him like, who the hell is this guy being able to talk at this pace? Like fully gassed, like trying to hang on to the back of him. I think like the gap for that K was like 3:03. Yeah, I looked at that before. And then from 10 to 15K, we had this nice tailwind. And he just chucked down surge after surge. And I just tried to stick to him like glue. And I was at this stage, I'm like, you're not winning this race. This guy is like in incredible shape. And I remember looking at my watch at 33 minutes, just saying like, you don't have to win today, but you have to stay with him until it says 40 minutes on your watch. Like just hang tough, cover any moves until 40 minutes. And then, you know, if you can hang with him until 40 minutes, at least you'll have a bit of a gap and then third might not catch you. And then he got probably 15 metre gap on me at about 15 and a half K coming down a hill when we crossed another bridge. And I knew Carly and Hudson were at 16 K. So I kind of closed that gap just thinking, just get to Carly and Hudson, see them there. And saw them and kind of got a, it was the first time Hudson's been at a running race. So it was kind of good to see him. And just got a bit of energy off seeing them in the crowd. And then through like 16 to 18, he backed off a bit and we ran like a 320 K for like the 18th K, going up a bit of a hill. But I just felt like really recovered and it felt like the pace had really eased off. I didn't know it was that slow at the time until I looked on Strava. And then I started thinking positive again. I'm like, okay, maybe he's cooked himself with all these kind of surges. Like, you might be on here. This is good for you. And then he came out, we turned a corner and he went 308 and then 302. And this was the one he got me. And I was probably 25 metres, maybe 20 metres off the back. And like, doing a Nick Earl kind of moan, had this stitch in like my back, like shoulder blade. So I was like grimacing and like gripping my teeth. And I was nearly fully off. And then I just, dug deep. I had my Uncle Steve's name on my bib. Like when he passed away in October, I was like, next road race I do, I'm going to put his name on my bib. And even your comments last week, Moose, about when things get tough, like what do you actually think about? So I was like, I need something if this happens to me. Where am I going to like think and what am I going to kind of like draw on to kind of make myself hurt a bit more? So I closed that gap and then I just thought, I've just got to stick here and like hopefully get there, 200 metres to go, and put a sprint finish in. And then I just sensed that he just relaxed a bit just as we went past the 20K mark, and I just had a bit of a snap decision. I thought, nah, got to go now, like try to just get to the front. It's going to be 3 minutes until we get the finish line, just run super scared. And that's what I did. And just just put my head down. It was like one of these like hilly ramps you come off to get off like the highway or something that we had to go up, so it wasn't the smartest move because I had to then jog up that hill or sprint up that hill about 500 meters out. And then ran scared until the last corner, had a sneaky look over my shoulder with about 200 meters to go. And someone yelled out that the guy's a long way behind, I think they said. So, I kind of saw him in the distance and could relax and enjoy the last 100 metres. And, ended up 18 seconds, like, putting into him over that last K. And just, I think he probably cooked himself a bit from that surgeon as well. Because I was surprised that I honestly thought I'd have to go past him and then, like, just keep getting quicker and build and then be ready for a big kick down the last 100. But, he did so much work, toughest for a kid that's never run a half marathon before, to race that style. Like, I was talking to his coach last night, just a few messages, and I'm like, it's just a gutsy way to run. Like, a tough kid. So good to get the win, 67:42, which was good. And then, good to be back on the roads. Got $250 prize money, cleaned up.
You're sort of paying him credit for being tough, but that was a really great race report. I enjoyed listening to that.
And it was a typical like head-to-head battle. And half the time I'm like, geez, I wish you weren't here because the next guy's like 90 seconds back. Like, this could have been really easy if one of us didn't rock up.
But how easy would it have been for you to do exactly what I did when the gap came and just back off and go, yep, I've got second covered?
Yeah, so that's like that's where you got to draw on those things, though, that I'm talking about. Like, I had three things written on the back of my bib. So, like, my uncle's name, and then I had Hudson's name because I knew it was the first race he was going to be at. And not that he knows what's going on, but I'm like, hey, be cool if he does. And then I also put, like, walk the walk, because, like, you guys know as coaches, like, you're expecting your athletes to be tough and, like, go to the well and, like, execute on race day. And if I'm going to sit there and not do that and drop off when things get tough, I just don't think it's a good, like, I don't know, like, it's good to be able to say you want to do the same thing you're going to expect them to do kind of thing. So, without those, I think I'm going to do that from now on, just have, like, themes. And it's an idea I got from you, remember, at World Champs, how you had, like, different themes for different laps. So I don't know if I want any more than three things. It could get a bit confusing. But, it was a bit of a battle for the whole time, just a head-to-head, had no idea what pace we were running. And, like, looking at our splits, he just, I hate running like that. Like, you give me a bike and a car paceness and just sit at 307s and we'll run every K like a second quicker or slower, but just be around that. This was like doing fartlek for an hour. He just, kept putting surges in and, yeah, it's a good. I'm stoked to get the win, but geez.
Do you reckon he would listen to this and go, fucking hell, I should have buried him when I had the chance?
I think I said to Croaks, like the surge he did at 19K, the one where I dropped off, it was like, I was starting to think like, you're almost a bit of a cop out. I'm like, hey, you've covered eight of these moves. It's okay now to let this one go. Like, and I thought if that move was stronger, like if he committed to it for maybe another 80 seconds, or just like 60 seconds and like really went hard and got that gap to like 50, 60. I think it could have put me away then and it would have been too much to make up with that. Like, I don't think I would have been in the race any longer. But then in hindsight, it's hard to, say.
You did put 18 seconds into him in the final kilometer. That's pretty unbelievable. That's fucking unbelievable.
But though, I think he might, like, cause I think I was like 305 for the last K. Like, it wasn't like super quick. But I think he might have just been cooked and like, I've just got to get this finish. Similar to what you said last week about, like, he knew he had seconds sewn up, maybe knew he wasn't going to catch me, and just conserved energy, but just got to the finish line. And he kind of said, he's like, I knew I had a 100 or 200 meter sprint left in me, but I couldn't do that with a K to go. So, yeah. But yeah, he's a name to watch out for. Like, yeah, you've been talking him up for a long time, and I think he's going to run Gold Coast Marathon. He just moves smooth, just looks very comfortable on the roads. But that was it. So pretty banged up now, though. Like, well, I was at 160 metres elevation gain. I'd say I was telling people, take 2.5 minutes off your time. That felt
about the same as Hobart, mate.
Yeah, this course is harder than Hobart. I've won both of them. I can say that. I think at Hobart, it's just the turns that get you. And, like, going on and off, like, highways and stuff where you got to go up and down those ramps, like, that's what gets me. And, like, Hobart's what got six turns, whereas this had – we had six turns in the first, like, 4K.
But I think Hobart's hillier.
Yeah. We had a, and it was a windy day, but the way the course was designed, we probably had it better than if we did it in the reverse. Like, wouldn't you agree, Croaks? That big 6K stretch on that highway was a nice, pretty tailwind.
Oh, yeah. Like, you pretty much had a tailwind from 9K all the way through to 18.
Oh, wow.
Oh, not over the bridge it wasn't.
It's predominantly a westerly wind, and it's only really the last few K that you're back into it. But yeah, it's definitely better to have the wind, like the way the wind was and the way the course was, you weren't running into a wind at the end for very long.
Oh, nah. It was just pretty much coming over that bridge. It was windy, but other than that, well, you were hidden like with all the buildings and stuff those last 3 or 4 Ks anyway, which is good. So yeah, pretty busted up now. I'll have a down week this week, and then... yeah, I think I'll rebuild for Gels Park Realize in about 2 or 3 weeks. Should be good. Thanks to Patreon supporters.
All right.
Kick it off, Croaks. You got a big one. You got a special one this week.
Yeah, so shout out this week goes to Chris Lang. I think it's a Patreon gift from his mate Greg. So happy 40th, Chris. Some of his PBs. He ran 18.09 for 5K at the Bankstown Inside Running Podcast Track Classic last year. He ran 57.11 for City to Surf in August 2019, and yesterday he ran a half marathon PB here in Canberra, running 83.42. He was in the IRP Steigen singlet, and I remember giving him a shout out on Parks Way. Some good swagger. And some other fun facts: he goes to Byron a couple of times a year, and there's a Strava segment up there, the Byron Classic. So who dares wins. The classic segment up and around the lighthouse in Byron that he does without fail a number of times each year. He's currently ranked 5th on the leaderboard and always rinses himself on holidays to improve on it. And he's also a Carlson fan. So happy birthday. Thanks for your support and congratulations on your PB yesterday, Chris.
He did look good. I saw him out there as well. Looked real good. Moose,
who you got? Lots of IRP singlets, actually, like a few different variations.
It was cool actually seeing the different versions of it, wasn't it? Like the grey one and then the green one and then the Steiger one. Yeah, was good. Who are you thinking, Moose?
I'm thinking Ben Smooth Elkin. Is that what he signed up with?
Signed up. I don't know if Smooth is middle name or it's just a nickname, but that's how he signed up.
Ouchin, I reckon.
Moose, no, was... Smooth. Smooth is the middle name.
Yeah, last name Ouchin.
Oh, righto. Ben's from Melbourne, does roads, trails, and triathlon. I always say trail running is the new triathlon. That's just, I reckon they've got a lot of similarities. Has maybe two kids, possibly his PBs are 38.47, 129.03 Sandy Point, and 3:47 in the 2016 Melbourne Marathon. He was up and doing some trail running on the weekend. Mount Buffalo ran the 20K Sky Run, came sixth. So that's pretty tough work up there around Mount Buffalo. Those races are a lot of vertical climbing and really steep descending. So good job, Ben. Thanks a lot, mate. Or Smooth.
Couldn't think of anything worse. I've just complained about a race with 160 metres elevation.
Imagine doing that stuff. Up here. Yeah. And these guys go downhill like you wouldn't believe.
They're just beasts, aren't they?
They actually, I've seen it lately, they are getting better at how they go down these hills. Fucking hell. They just, my knees just start crying looking at it.
Yeah, quads. Imagine that, the DOMS the next day after. Yeah. I'm going to thank Dane Otterson. Dane's been one of our patrons since like day one, but he's told me I was never able to thank him until he'd run a decent half marathon. So he ran a decent half marathon yesterday at Canberra. He ran about a 6 minute PB to run 72.36. Just looks super strong. It's kind of, that's what I was talking about before, motivating to see people you coach out there, and of course when you kind of go out and back and do those U-turns and get to see them there. He's from Picton in New South Wales. He's also ran at 15:24 for 5K, time trial on the track he did. And did he win or was he second? I think he was second in the 10K at Bankstown. Remember that community one where it was just hammer and rain the whole time? He did the community run. Him and Sam shared the lead a bit. He ran 33.35 there. He's pretty good at tennis back in the day. Owns a dog. Great swagger. If you've seen him, some like real good tattoos on this guy. And just a great bloke. So thanks, Dane, for your long-time Patreon support and finally getting around to thanking you. Some running news, fellas. Where do you want to start? Do you want to go to New Zealand first? Christchurch Marathon?
Yeah, let's do it.
Friend of the show, Daniel Jones, got the win over there. 2:23.36. Reckon they'd be a bit slow, but I don't think he'd be happy with that one. He's ran like 2:16, hasn't he?
According to his Instagram, he said it was very, very hard work. In the last 10K, he was just on survival mode. So I'm not sure whether they'd be happy with it, but he certainly didn't do it easily.
Yeah, right. Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, maybe they've had like, you know, terrible wind like we had in Canberra. But Brad, I reckon you read somewhere it was pretty still, didn't you? And yeah, the half marathon times probably suggest that.
Yeah, I thought I saw something saying like perfect conditions in Christchurch, but not sure. And also not really sure what his training's been like since he came back from Kenya. Long time ago.
And he was solo. Alice Mason won the ladies in 2:43.51. And then there were some solid results in the half. So like Oscar Baines won it in 64.59. Michael Voss, your roommate
my roommate from when I did Christchurch, yep. 60. He's improved a lot over the last couple of years. He was real young when we roomed together. So, yeah, he was second in 65.09.
Daniel Bolchin, he's a good runner as well, 65.23. What time did you run to win it?
65.30. Yeah, like 65.30.
You should pick the right year to go over there. Tell us about the women's moose in the half.
Probably not as strong in terms of the times, I don't think. Catherine Camp won 78.31. Hannah Olroyd, 78.45. And Angela Waters, 79.28.
Do you want to do the Canberra results, Croaks?
Yeah, okay. So we'll go the ultras to start with. So Matt Whitaker won the race in 2:56, which on that course and in those conditions was, it was pretty impressive. I think I read somewhere it was maybe the sixth fastest time.
What did he go through the marathon in?
Not sure. I don't
Where
know
are
if
these results?
I'm just on the Canberra Times website.
Dude, if you click on his name, does it say the marathon split? Maybe I didn't have a timing out there.
Well, he said. Well, it said 228.36. It said.
Okay.
Which would have actually put him second in the marathon, I think.
Yeah, it would have.
Second was Wayne Spies, and third was Sean. So second was 302, Sean 312. First in the ladies was Megan Hasick. She ran 401. Then if we go to the marathon in the women's, Reen Ringy won in 242. Achana Murray Bartlett was second, 254, and Phoebe Pincus was third in 255. In the men's, Miles Goff won the race in 225.17. Second, Robert Collins, 229.17, and Jeff Chasling, third in 229.55. So that was that. The half, Marina Wong won the women's, 78.39. Vanessa Wilson, second in 79.03, and Rosie Webber was third in 79.09. So pretty close there between second and third. We've spoken about the half in the men's. Oliver Cashman was third in 69.34. Did you mention your time, Brady?
I think so. 67.42. Toby was 68.00.
Yeah. And then final result we'll discuss there is the men's and women's 10K. Hugh Williams won the men's 10 in 30.23. Bryce Anderson second, 30.31, and Alistair Christie was third in 30.38. Emily Ryan won the women's, 33.54. Katie Pora was second in 36.01, and Therese Orton was third in 36.36.
Some fast thanks to that, Croaks. Well done reading all those results out. Well done to those organisers getting the race up. It was kind of like COVID never happened, eh?
Yeah, it was really a really good vibe. It sort of made you realise how much you sort of missed those big events.
Yeah, some fascinating news out of Tassie now. This comes through, it was an article in their newspaper down there. I wish I did write down the person who sent it to us on Instagram, but thank you, whoever that was.
I'll find out, Brady.
It was an article on Millie Clark. I'm not sure if you've had time to read this, Moose, but she's pretty much, I'll read it straight out of the article here. Marathon runner Millie Clark shifts Olympic focus from Tokyo to Paris. Rio Olympian Millie Clark has pulled the pin on the Tokyo Games but says she's determined to return to the sport's biggest stage in Paris. Australia's highest finisher in the 2016 Olympic marathon, Clark said all the COVID-enforced modifications and restrictions being imposed on the rescheduled 2020 Games has prompted her withdrawal. Then, quote, "I cannot get my family there. There is no athlete village, no opening or closing ceremony and no spectators. That's the Olympics for me. They are my memories of Rio," she said. "If it cannot be like that, why would I go and run in 38 degree heat with no one there to watch? The best part of Rio for me was running past my family, friends and family every K. I want my memories of the Olympics to be ones I have from Rio, and hopefully I can build on that in Paris." So Millie did have the fourth fastest time inside the qualifying standard. Do they still consider her when they go to the discretion, or she's like withdrawing her name? Is that what you guys are making from this?
I'm making it that she hasn't nominated for the Olympics.
Oh, so you still have to nominate when you get the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But another one of
so
the
her name's not going to be in the hat.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, there's more to this article. We'll put in the show notes. Have you got more of it open?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't read the whole article, but another quote was saying, "I don't just want to make up the numbers. Someone else can have a spot, and I'll work on Paris." So it's almost as if she is suggesting that she will run in the Olympics when she is sitting in fourth spot, actually well outside being being in the top three of the fastest times. I know that selectors can use discretion, but I don't know. I mean, she's entitled to her opinion. For me, I feel like the Olympics deserves a lot more respect than that. But the Olympics is the Olympics. It's the highest pinnacle for distance runners out of every single potential option to them, in my mind. I mean, yeah, there's not going to be people there. It's still the Olympics. It's going to be the whole fucking world watching this race. The entire world will watch.
I haven't been to the Olympics, so yeah, like, I mean, I can't sort of say just because, like, she's mentioning that there's been, she's had a, had an experience elsewhere that's been amazing, and this one won't live up to it. That's the, I mean, I don't know. I don't, the statements don't resonate with me, and I, but she's entitled to her opinion.
Yeah.
What about you? What about others here?
Yeah, I was just surprised because I was like, well, yeah, you never, like, especially like with injuries and stuff, I'm like, not that you'd ever hope that anyone gets injured, or you wouldn't wish it on anyone, but you're like, yeah, if your name was still in the hat, why not wait and see what the, like, wait, it's almost like she's pulled out before she can not get selected. Yeah, I don't know, like, I'm sitting here as obviously not an Olympian, never going to be an Olympian, so to have just, have your name in the hat and be qualified for me would be an amazing kind of opportunity and something you'd value so much, whereas this just feels like she's just swatting it away. She's like, meh, don't rate it. So yeah, I've never, you know, we can link into the Charlotte Perdue news, like, it's kind of completely flipped, isn't it, where people are absolutely shattered that they're not going to go to the Olympics,
but and I think, absolutely, yeah, ecstatic that they could.
Yeah
On the flip side, those that do get picked.
Yeah, Croak, your thoughts on it?
I just thought it was a really interesting article given the situation she's in at the moment, because as we've said, she's in fourth and her time's what, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes slower than the third fastest female. So, and her only other real option was this marathon event in Sydney in a couple of weeks, which, you know, after having done the run in Hobart, and I don't think she'd even nominated for that run in Sydney, like, there was no more opportunities for her to qualify anyway. So it was almost like, well, she would have known that she's not going to get selected in fourth place, being a few minutes slower than everybody else. So it's, yeah, sort of an interesting article.
It's, yeah, like, I reckon the girls that are above her kind of feel pretty disrespected by it.
Well, that, yeah, like,
that's what I think.
Yeah, the quote that you mentioned about, I'll give my spot, like, you know, I'll let somebody else have it. It's like, well, no, you won't let them have it because they're already in front of you.
And you weren't
going to go in front of them because you're not running another marathon between now and the trial period ending.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go to the UK, Charlotte Perdue, one of Britain's leading marathon runners. We spoke about her last week. Her appeal got knocked back. She's now seeking legal advice after being overlooked for the Tokyo Olympics because she claims false information was presented at the UK athletics selection meeting. Baffling, I think the headline said. Moose, you'd know. Have you been in a training camp with Charlotte?
Or
you
no,
just know of
no.
her, like, through, like, Sinead and Ellie and stuff? They're training.
Well, she's coached by Nick, and she trains with the MTC group a lot. And she's pretty, like, she's an amazing runner. She ran 2:25 for the marathon, and she's competed well in the past. She puts herself on the line in these marathons, and it was pretty crazy. It's funny that when we were discussing the selection dilemma for the UK selectors for the ladies marathoners, that it was actually as, like, confusing and convoluted as we were making out.
Yeah.
Like,
2 weeks ago, if you go back, we were talking, yeah. We just thought the 12 was going to go to the 10K. Yeah.
Yeah. So how are they going to make this decision? Like, no one really knew. And it turns out that there was some crazy fucking way that they made the decision by hearing somebody else talk about Charlotte's training, but not actually talking to Charlotte about her training. It just seems like so fucked up over there. Oh, I would hate for that, something like that, to happen in Australia.
It even seems like these medical exemptions they got to not run the trials as well. Like, it's almost like, it sounds like they've got those, you got the time, here's your exemption, like, get ready for the Olympics. But then almost it's like, oh yeah, but by the way, you haven't been selected. And, like, I'm sure if she could have her time again and, like, you know, go run top two and run 4 minutes slower than your PB, because it said she's been doing like 130K weeks. She could have, you know, potentially rocked up and nailed that at that trials and cemented her time, you know, her spot on that team.
Oh yeah, I don't know their health position going into it. I'm not sure whether that would have been the best idea for them. And obviously, they've been told you don't have to run this.
Yeah, like that's where it got messy.
Exactly. There's been lots of information fed to them, and who's it coming from? And you hope that it's on an email, not just over the phone. You want everything on paper, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, when anything goes to discretion, though, it just starts getting messy.
You get biases, you get grudges.
It depends who's on the panel picking the team. Often like unknown, and you never know what. Like the criteria is there, but there's usually like, I know the Australian one, there's like 8 dot points. And it's like, how heavily weighted is the fastest time dot point over the past Olympic experience dot point and things like that.
I'll make a bold prediction. I know nothing really of this case, but I reckon if the British athletics, if they realise that they actually have made a mistake in terms of like the information that they used to make this decision, if they realise that it was actually false and they do see like Charlotte's like training logs and Strava and see that she is actually fit, I reckon they might reverse it. And give her the 10K because she's already qualified for the 10. So then everybody gets a run at the Olympics. That's what I reckon might happen if the information that they've used is found to be false.
Yeah,
it sounds like it has. That's what
such
I reckon,
a bizarre decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I reckon might happen to keep everybody happy and to to make it fair.
Remind me, was she the second fastest qualifier? Or first fastest qualifier? Second, wasn't she?
Charlotte?
Yeah, of the four that had hit the time.
Yeah, I think she was, so there was obviously the one that was selected because she ran the trial and ran the time.
Yeah, but still that wasn't as quick as
the other
two girls.
Yeah, but then I think Charlotte was maybe not next, but the one after that. So second before the trial.
So she's our Lisa Waitman, to put it in our terms.
No, but then there was also the, I mean, I know at the end of the day it doesn't matter, but one of them ran a marathon that was and went the wrong way, and they still paid the time.
Yeah, I was trying to read that on Let's Run today. Do you know if there's any evidence about that being?
No, I don't.
Because there was
a
gas leak or something, wasn't it? And then they moved the course during the race, but it was only for people that. Yeah, I was reading Let's Run. It's a dangerous place to be, and the stuff I was reading was probably not accurate.
What do you boys think about my prediction?
Yeah, I don't think that. I think we'll hear more about this in the next couple of weeks, especially when the legal advice gets,
I think you're close. I don't know. I just think they take every event on its own. They don't actually look and go, oh, you're qualified in others. They just look at the candidates for every individual event.
Yeah, but if this appeal goes ahead and then people see that Charlotte has actually been training and according to, I think it was Badeau said that, she was doing some sort of reps that was like not far off her best.
Yeah, true.
So if they, whoever's on the panel, if they get that evidence to go, well, no, she's actually in good shape and she's run faster than Steph Twirl, then we have to reverse our decision and Steph, you'll be selected in the 10K.
Didn't they ask even like some doctors to put like a percentage on which one do you think's got the highest chance of being injured again before the Olympics? Wasn't that like something stupid like that? And they said, oh, yeah, she's got a bigger chance because of her injury history or whatever. Everyone on the Olympic start line is like on that line of being fit.
I would have thought the only way a doctor would be involved is looking at where if they're currently injured, going, all right, this person has a torn hamstring. They're out now for at least however many weeks versus this athlete has this niggle. So, that's how I thought maybe the doctors would be used, but using a doctor to predict what's going to happen in the future, I don't think you can do that.
No. Anyway, that's all the running news I had. Got anything else before we go to listen to question?
Not from me.
From you, Moose, anything special I've missed? Did this in the car today, driving home. No. Thought I might have missed something. Probably did. Probably get some hate mail about. Listen to question, Croaks.
All right. The question this week comes in from Summer Tang. I just have to ask, how do you lads stretch after your runs if you're commuting to all these locations? Do you stretch before you get in the car? What about on a rainy day? Do you have to lay out in the rain stretching your hamstrings, or do you wait until you get home to stretch out? If so, does driving home tighten everything up? I know for me, I have to stretch after every run or else I get some bad DOMs in my quads in particular. Thanks in advance and love the show.
Well, I mean, first off, DOMS is delayed onset muscle soreness, and stretching doesn't make DOMS go away. DOMS is basically muscle damage. So, like, straight up summer, I just don't think that's right. Like, you running downhill, creating micro tears in your quads isn't going to be fixed by stretching afterwards. That's not to have a go at you or anything, but I just, like, stretching might work for you for sure, and whatever it is, keep doing it, but it's not making DOMS go away. So, like, we probably should just iron that one out straight away.
This is coming out hard, Krogs.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
You've clarified correct? It, yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I have trouble with this, actually, because I have to sometimes drive home and then run after, like, a 90-minute drive, and, gee, I hate it. So, summer, what I do is go for a little walk beforehand and just try to get that sitting tightness, soreness, like, just that real stiffness that I get from being in the car in the one position so often. I try to get that out with a little walk just before I start jogging. And then the first K when I jog is super slow, almost like a little bit of active stretching. Yeah, I don't do too much, like, static stretching. I do a little bit, mainly releasing hip flexors, that and I do some calf mobility on a decline board, but I don't really spend a lot of time just static stretching. I like to do active stretching before I do a workout, which is for me like a series of running drills basically, and I do that maybe once a week as well after an easy run. So I normally do it probably 3 times a week, and it's a series of running drills like A skip, B skip, butt kicks, then
like
then
a bunch of other warm-ups kind of thing. There's a good video. Have you seen that video that Dathan Ritson-Hines got on YouTube about those things, those drills?
No, but there's another guy that I follow on Instagram called Birdie Bob.
Oh yeah, he's good too. Yeah,
that guy looks amazing,
doesn't he?
He's the guy you want to follow to do. I don't think he does anything except drills and strides.
And quick 200s. Yeah. Where someone's in, like, on the bike in lane 2 filming him. He's just hammering around the corner.
He got 1 million views on one of his videos.
Did he?
1 million.
1 million. Yeah, he's going all right. We'll put both those links in the show notes though, because they're good and easy to follow, and they almost, like, teach you how to do them because you just copy them. I occasionally do, I just go onto YouTube and it's like yoga with Andrea or something like that. You guys say
Adriana?
Yeah. She got the dog.
Yeah.
The little dog sits on there. I get distracted by the dog. I wish she wouldn't have the dog there. Not good for my brain. Anyway, and I just copy what she does. I think it's like 25 minutes. I think it's like yoga for runners. Sometimes, like, when I'm not doubling, I'll just go down and do that in the shed for like 20 or 30 minutes, which is what my double usually goes for. But I'm talking like once every 3 weeks. I need to probably do more of it.
I can't believe you said that you get distracted by the dog when you
don't
watch,
you get distracted by that dog?
No, I get distracted by Adriana.
Yeah?
I was just thinking, how about these two creeps watching yoga videos on YouTube?
I just stay in Wimmer.
European just girl.
She's sponsored by Adidas, don't you reckon, Krogs? She always wears that Adidas t-shirt.
I don't know. I only watched a few episodes ages ago when I was going through my body balance phase.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it for ages.
It's pretty good. She had like 5 million views, Moose. You think you'll go again? Yeah. She's like
five million 30-year-old men.
She's killing the algorithm on YouTube. And like, I don't really drive. I do like 90% of my running from home or within like a 90-second, 2-minute drive from my house. So that helps me a lot there. But yeah, and just starting slow. Like, if I do drive somewhere, my first K is always close to 5 minutes because I'm just loosening everything up before it just starts to click a bit.
Yeah, like, my only comment, like, it's interesting how the question's about stretching after your run. So I don't do so much of that. Like, my commute's, you know, it's probably 8 minutes, I reckon, from home to Mulligan's. So if anything, like, I don't really stretch after a run at all. And the commute home doesn't lock everything up. So the only stretching I do after runs is occasionally, maybe like every second night, I'll like get on a foam roller and maybe like stretch my hip flexors out. So, but that's not straight after a run. That's, you know, if I'm running in the morning, it's like 12 hours later. I do more probably beforehand, especially if it's the morning, because like my Achilles are so stiff and sore. So I'll often have to do just like some, you know, calf raises or just even just walk up and down the hallway just to get some blood flow and get the pain to be gone and things like sort of loosening up through my hips and back. So yeah, sounds like all of us focus more on the stretching and activation before the runs and not so much afterwards.
Mm. Hopefully that helps you there. Summer, Moose on the Loose, Perch of the Week.
House in Noosa.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're in budget. We're in like a trailer park. Don't worry about that. I got a waterproof jacket. Waterproof jacket for running. Fantastic idea. Keeps you dry. Really cuts the wind out too. I got one of those because I was out in the weather all Saturday. It was pissing rain. And you know, you go to cross country meets and go to races and you have to be out in the weather. Like there's no real choice. You have to get from the car to the tent or whatever. And even in the tent, it's terrible. So getting yourself a waterproof running jacket, you can warm up, but not get wet inside. So I'm a big fan of that. Breathable too.
Mm-hmm. Bet you sell them at running company Ballarat.
Hey, of course we sell them. They're an essential piece of kit.
I got a good puffer jacket here. Yeah. Hey, Brady.
He stole my puffer jacket, Moose.
It wouldn't suit you at all. It doesn't have a big hood on it.
And then he goes, hey, I'll wear it to the pub. And then he just wears another puffer jacket at the pub and keeps mine at home. And then I'm like, next time I see you at the Gold Coast, bring me puffer jacket.
Send me a DM with your offer if you want to purchase Brady's puffer jacket.
It's a good one, extra, too. Extra small.
No, it fits Croak. Croak's a bit taller than me. It's a Nike. It's just a vest, though. Nike puffer jacket. Cost me heaps that as well. That's worth a fortune.
You'll get it back.
Yeah. Nah, way more than that. Actually, I went to the Nike factory outlet when I was up there, Moose, but there wasn't much on sale. Disappointed. Anyway, didn't trigger him. What's coming up? We've got nationals this week, Australian Track and Field Championships. What that means for us on this show is the men's 1500, women's 1500, there's some 800s, and there's the steeplechases because the 5K has already happened, the 10K has already happened, and the 3K. Actually, is that 3K thing this week?
No, I think it's been a different time.
Yeah, so only worry about those ones. Fellas, if you click on that link, that forms one I just put below it, it gives you a nice, easy way. Oh, you have to put your name in there first, though. Otherwise, there's another link there on page 79, the men's 1500 is. Page 61 is the women's. Who's going to win it? What do you reckon? Your boy, Jai Edwards Croaks?
It depends. I'm guessing Stewie's on the start list. I haven't opened it up. I think if Stewie runs, I think he'll be very hard to beat.
Yeah. I think Matthew Rams does well.
I'll put Jai on the podium for sure.
Yeah. So if Matthew Ramsden or Stewie go 1-2, they're definitely on the team because they've got the time already, whereas Jai needs the time and to go 1-2.
Yeah. Or he needs to win and he can get the time somewhere else.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to get the time at trials.
Is it just the winner that's guaranteed or top two? Can he go top two?
It's just the winner that's automatic. And although I'm not a selector and I don't know that this is true, but I reckon that if you finish top two at nationals and you have the time, I think you'll go.
Yeah.
So this is a big list. Everyone on this list met the qualifying time, did they, Croaks?
Yeah, controversy about that online. Actually, I've been seeing some people getting a bit fired up on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, I don't reckon.
Really?
I don't reckon everyone made the qualifying time. Maybe. Yeah.
Where's this controversy here?
What page are we on?
No, go to the other one, fellas. Go to that other one and just put like, because there's a listener out there. He doesn't want to get named, but he's organised. He's overseas in lockdown in Germany, and he's organised a tipping competition.
Yeah, so, I went to the tipping competition. Yeah, that's what I'm on.
Yeah, you see the men's 800 first, and you can just go. We'll put this in the show notes. You can just go along, and it's got points. Like you can tick who you think is going to be first, second, or third. But they're big fields. Men's 800. You got Bowl in there. Luke Matthews in there. I should have screenshot who I selected in this timing competition. That would have been a whole lot easier to do. Hard to see Peter Bowl not winning though, isn't it? Luke Matthews hasn't had a great season, but can get it right at nationals. Done it before. Commonwealth Games bronze medalist.
Yeah. Peter Bowles, my pick. He's just looked outstanding all year.
Yeah. Other than that time, Mathis got him. That was the only one.
Yeah, he's New Zealander.
So don't need to worry about him. Risler's in there as well. There's a lot of class there. Men's 15, we've talked about. Women's 15, Lyndon Hall. Does anyone get close to her?
Don't think so.
Women's steeple. Jen Gregson, half a going favourite there. Ben Buckingham in the men's.
My two picks.
With Nipper. Yeah. Matthew Clark, could be a few people there as well. And then women's 800, Katrina Bissett.
Yep. There's some outstanding favourites, aren't there?
There are, yeah. The young Claudia Hollingsworth's in that as well. Maybe Brittany Kahn. And I've seen some people, like, because Lyndon's, of course, just in the 15, all of a sudden it makes things easier for Katrina in the 800. So that's that. I think Channel 7's doing a live stream or something as well. We'll share any stream links that we get. Other than that, fellas, I reckon we're done. Anything coming up, Moose?
No, back to training now. Got to get fit. Got to get that routine back. High mileage life.
High mileage. Croaks, what are you doing?
Long weekend down the coast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Going away.
Yeah.
Very good.
That'll be fun.
That's episode 180. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. See you, fellas.
Have a good week.
See ya.
Same to you guys. Bye. Doesn't matter if it don't come back. Oh, no.